A mother was outside tending to her garden when she heard a loud thump and a cry. She ran to find her 4-year-old son at the bottom of the stairs in a pile of garbage. She found out that he had jumped from the top of the stairs trying to fly like Peter Pan. After a long talk about reality versus make-believe, the mother walked away convinced she had gotten her point across. That was until she heard her son whisper, "Next time, I have to use more pixie dust." So the title of this sermon today is Perfectly Imperfect, and it is an apt description of parenthood. Parenthood was never meant to be perfect. Through your imperfections, you show your children that this is a process that the entire family, no, the entire community, must undertake. Through the trials and obstacles inherent in child rearing, the objective is always to nurture, to cultivate, and produce children who will embody the innate greatness that the Creator has placed within each one of their souls. Our mission statement at Unity is, we transform lives that transform the world. These are not merely words that we blindly recite in unison every Sunday. Rather, these words should be a deeply held belief that becomes the philosophy of your life. I love how Judaism describes parenthood. In the Torah, it states, there are three partners in parenthood. The Holy One of Blessings, that's God or Spirit, the Father and the Mother. The three must act in unison to produce a child of substance. The Holy One of Blessings, God or Spirit, said, to the ones who honor their parents, I rest over them as if I dwelt amongst them and they honored me. God made you, parents, the stewards of this miracle we call children. You were given an empty vessel, a soul that must be filled with inspiration and endless possibilities. There's an old African proverb that states, children are the reward of life. Think about that. Children are the reward of life. All children have been blessed with some unique gift, some special talent that God has given just to them. The job of parents is to find that talent, develop it, and help children, your children, understand that God has made them great. Not special, He has made them great. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. In the parable of the talents in Matthew's chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus said, those who utilize what they've been given effectively more is given, while those who hide or misuse their talents, it is taken from them. Parents, regardless of how your life turned out, don't handicap your children. Allow your children to see in you that you understand that they were made great. And they won't truly understand it until you as a parent puts that into their souls. We all have seen examples of parenting done right. Children who display kindness and empathy. Those skills and those talents were taught at home. Will you see this in children all the time? Of course not. But what you must always look at is that this is the standard that you set for your children. Like parents, children are not perfect, but it is the parents' responsibility to plant that seed, to water it with love, and watch the labor of their hard work grow and blossom until the greatness that God has placed in their children. Many of our children are fragile. They need to know that with their parents, there is always a safe space. Always a place that if nobody else believes in them, that the parents believe in them. And this is no small measure. Many parents fail in this regard. You have to always pour into your child, you are great. And if they hear it from someone that they respect, over time, they will start internalizing it. That is really important. As I scan the audience, like so many other houses of worship, the congregation is getting older and older. Don't get me wrong. We need the wisdom of the elders, but where are the youth? These youth we need to carry the torch that will lead this spiritual community into the future. We're blessed here at Unity, and you just don't know how blessed we are until you start to go to these other houses of worship. We have a robust youth ministry that is thriving and growing daily. What we need is that the people in the congregation, we just don't expect your applause and your gratitude. The youth need your money. The teachers need you to acknowledge that they have made major sacrifices to be here. And they are nurturing this precious resource, which is your children. And you just don't hand your children to anybody. Some people do, and you see the outcome. We need to make sure that the wisdom that the elders have here and people younger than the elders, that you pour that knowledge and that wisdom into the teachers who need support, but also into the children. When you see them in the hallways, tell them, I'm proud of you. Thank you for coming out. I know this was a sacrifice, but you know what? This community believes in you. It has to be a whole village mentality, but I don't just rely on the village, because the village always starts with the parents. You can't rely on the reverend, the preacher, the coach to be the one that is at the top of the food chain when it comes to your child. God put you there. God chose you. And it is a sacred responsibility. Children come to us. If you ever see a newborn baby and they just look in the eyes of their parents like they're gods, because they expect everything from them, they have nothing. And you can't take that lightly. You have to understand that the children that you produce will be your living legacy. When people see your children, they will say, who was his mother? Who was his father? And you don't want to be embarrassed. So take that to heart for whatever it's worth. When we think about our youth, in Proverbs 29, it states, where there is no vision, the people perish. That vision has to be something that is already innate that God gave to your children, but you have to make sure that vision is something that they see, even if they see it through your eyes until they can understand it. They have to see it. So I love to tell this story. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in my eyes, was the quintessential parent. Out of all of the women on earth during that time, God chose her. Why? She was going to be the one to carry the seed of the Messiah. God would not just put that responsibility on anybody. He put it on Mary because he knew Mary could handle it, because he knew Mary was a spiritual soul who had shown her devotion. Many people, when they think about Jesus, they think about from age 30 to 33. That's when he was showing his divinity. Many people forget that Jesus was a child. He was an infant. He was a baby. He was an adolescent. He was a young adult. And he was raised by Mary, who was a faithful woman. And she didn't just raise him, she raised him well. Look at the results. A lot of people don't think about that. God always has a plan. One thing about Mary is people in the community during that time tried to destroy her reputation, calling her unfaithful and not believing that Jesus was conceived through Immaculate Conception. I remember historically reading this, that God told Mary after the birth of Christ not to speak for 3 days. And within that 3-day period, baby Jesus was in a cradle. And God instructed Mary, when people asked you about the birth of that child, for 3 days, don't say anything and point to the cradle. And as an infant, baby Jesus responded. That takes faith. That takes the understanding that your Heavenly Father understands that you know the mission. That's what parents do. That's the mission. I love that story. And people may ask, why am I referring to Mary and Jesus when I'm talking about parenthood? Mary understood because she communicated with God on a regular basis. People say she would have dreams. She would walk, and sometimes she would shake when she would walk through the community, and people thought she was crazy. She was hearing voices, But those voices she was hearing was from God. And those voices won't be heard by everybody. And she understood when God planted that seed in her that that was greatness. And that was greatness that she was going to nurture. And she realized what her responsibilities are. So I'm not suggesting that we be Christ. Rather, I want you to comprehend that God places greatness in all of us. It's up to the parents to reinforce that greatness. And as I said earlier, don't tell your children they're special. They're special to you, nobody else. Tell your children that they are great, and you expect them to live out their greatness. And let them see the passion when you tell them that, because they'll start to believe it. It's all about confidence. So earlier, it was stated that I'm the proud father of three daughters, and just a disclaimer, I never wanted sons. And people always say, well, and you should have tried again for that fourth child to get a boy. You know what? When you're a father and you have daughters, in most cases, daughters love you to death. Now, mothers may get their headaches as it relates to that, but they love themselves some daddy. So my daughters love me, and to me, that is a true blessing. But one thing that I would like to acknowledge is that I've had a lot of academic success in my life, but you know what? The greatest accomplishment that I ever was able to undertake is my three daughters. And the reason I say that is because when I pass away, all those things that I did will leave. But my children are my legacy. And when people say, well, I knew Shafiq and I know his daughters and he did a great job, I never want them to look at my children and say, all of those things that you accomplish in your life, you left your children by the wayside. And it's good that people praise you and all of this other stuff, but what about your kids? Their lives are a train wreck. And you have to own that. Parents have to own that. And it's important. And when I talk about this, I talk about it with the level of passion because I've been around kids for over 30 years, not just my own. And I understand what happens when I see kids who weren't raised well, who don't have guidance. You know, girls get pregnant early because they're looking for some man to tell them they love them. Boys walk around with this macho bravado, but inside they're cupcakes because they trying to be tough to the world, but in the inside, they just needed their father to say, I love you. So Peter says in chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others. So when I told you about my daughters, so my proud dad moment. So about 2 months ago, my daughter, my middle daughter, Khadija, she texted me and she said, Dad, I'm gonna send you some pictures. Don't freak out. And when a young adult tells you that, you don't know what is going to come over. But she sent me a picture of her in the White House with a picture of Kamala Harris and President Biden. So my daughter had wrote in a text that this nonprofit that she had founded with four of her friends, that they all had been personally invited to the White House because of what they had given in terms of public health communication throughout the United States and throughout Africa. And when I thought about that, first, I wasn't surprised. And when I say I wasn't surprised, it's because the way my late wife and I raised our children is that we told them they were great. We told them that they would live out their greatness if they followed the plan, followed the blueprint. And we laid it out to them from the time they were in elementary school, where we picked the elementary schools that they were going to go to their middle school, to high school, to the college that they were going to go to. They had to justify their academic prowess when it came to, when you go to college, we're not going to let you just major in anything because it feels good. We sat down and had conversations, and they realized at an early age there were expectations. And those expectations were real. And look where they are today. And that's a blessing. And the blessing is not coming from me. The blessing is coming from God. I and my late wife just wanted to be the vessel. And I think that's really important. One thing about parenthood is that parenthood is not for the faint of heart. It is for the faint of heart if you don't put in the work. Some people think just having children and the birth of those children is sufficient. Oh, he's so cute. He's so handsome. But what are you doing? What are you doing with his education? What are you doing with this young girl to make her feel like she's on top of the world? And then when the father sees his daughter, she sees the love in his eyes that no other man will ever be able to touch, even her husband. Because it's a special kind of love between a father and his daughter. Okay. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, I love this, where it says, "Train up a child in the ways he or she should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it." It all comes back to how your children are trained early. That's why when you look at your children, if you put in the work early, you don't have to worry about the craziness later on. You can't start raising your kids when they're teenagers. It starts from birth. Mom and dad are not going to put up with the nonsense. Mom and dad, when you come home with C's and you're happy with that, we say, you got to step it up and mean it. It's all about consistency. One thing about parenting is that you have to always understand you must be involved. And parenting requires sacrifice. Some people think, I can have children and I can keep on doing the things I was doing before. You can't do that. You have to sacrifice. That means sometimes some of your aspirations that you wanted to personally achieve, you got to put those on hold. Your children are the priority. And if either the mother or the father or same-sex couples, it doesn't matter. Somebody has to sacrifice, and it can't be the children. And a lot of parents don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that being a parent matters. Being a good parent matters. And if you weren't the greatest parent when your children were younger, and maybe they're adults now, it's still not too late. But you got to put in the work. Because if you don't put in the work, somebody else is going to put in the work. It could be social media. It could be the streets. It's a lot of craziness going on out here. If you don't insulate your children from that craziness, destruction is right down the line. Think about that. So my late wife and I, we had a philosophy that we decided to do when we raised our children. First, we told them when they were born, before they could even understand, we're not going to allow you to be average. When you wake up, you're average. But greatness that is inside of you, that God placed in you, is going to require you to do things that average people are unwilling to do. So we planted that seed early. They wake up every morning. You're not average. What you gonna do today? I'm gonna knock it out the park when I get to school. Okay. We'll see when the grades come in. Sounds good. And you're consistent with that. So the philosophy that we had, number one, for our children, we said, for our daughters, we said, before you have children, get married. We said, marriage is the first building block in creating a healthy and moral community. You can't have a community that is healthy that's filled with a whole bunch of single people. No matter how good they are, families matter. Number two, we said, do not go to school to be trained for a job or career. Rather, find your life's passion that God has innately already placed in you. Develop that skill and that vision with hard work, and that your job or your career will never feel like work. These are jewels I'm giving you, everyone. I hope you're listening. And then number three, give your time and energy to make this world a better place. And you do that through service and understanding that there is a higher power that leads your every step. Okay. So at this point, I'm going to have a little shameless self-promotion. So as mentioned earlier, I have a book out now, Parenthood 101, The Blueprint for Raising Academically Successful and Socially Conscious Children. It's in the Unity bookstore. It's in the back, holding it up. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. And I have a workshop directly after this where I'll sell the books. You know, please, even if you think, you know, my kids are grown, I'm a grandparent now, whatever, the skills that you can learn and the applications that are in the book are useful to maybe your friends, maybe your family members. And I can use the money, okay? So just a few things, and I'm gonna close this out, that I wanted to mention about the book itself. So the first chapter, and if you're going to be a parent, is the most important chapter, is mate selection. Your mate will either make your life seem like heaven or hell. And if you're a parent, other than your belief in a higher power, selecting the right mate is the second most important thing. There's some duds out there, people. There's some people that you may want to date, but you wouldn't want them to raise a turtle. Those things are important, so think about it. Reading to your children when they are young. When our children, before they were even born, I was reading Shakespeare to their stomach, to my mutton wife's stomach. And the reason I did that, I have a degree in English, so I love literature. But my children even tell me today, they don't say, "Dad, I remember when you were reading Shakespeare to me." But they love reading. And that is not happenstance. That's for a reason. But the reason you read to your children early is that it develops a vocabulary. So many kids are coming to school now, and their vocabulary is limited. And you could tell they weren't read to. And when people say, "Well, you know, my kids don't like to read and all that," you'd be surprised. If you do it early, it becomes a habit. What happens is that when kids read early or read too early, you get stories that stimulate their ability to hope and dream. And that's important. And then education. One size doesn't fit all. Amen. There you go. One size doesn't fit all. You can't just put your children anywhere. All children are different. Some children may need public school. Some may need private school. Some may need homeschool. Some may need religious schools. Find out what your child needs, because this is going to be the direction that will guide their life. And it takes time. But once again, parenthood is not supposed to be easy, but God chose you. Okay. So these are just a few things I want you to think about. So what you should try to do on a regular basis, parents, is that you need some family time. That means select a day during the week, at least one, where everybody comes to the table and eats. Cut off the cell phones, no social media, no texts, no emails. This is for kids and parents. Talk about the day. Everybody has to participate. Talk about world events. Talk about what's going on in their lives. Tell them things that are going on in your life, and you would be surprised. One thing I tell parents all the time as a former teacher is that if your child can't sit down with you and be quiet and listen, you know the hell they're going to send off to school because they can't sit there and listen to the teacher? And parents are surprised. But it starts at home. It's the training, the expectations. Raising children, everyone, successful children, is not easy. But as I said before, God chose you for the job, just like God picked Mary for Jesus. If God has faith in you, then we have faith in you. So plant the seed, cultivate the soil, give it love and attention, and let God do the rest. Okay? Let's meditate. Okay. So if you can close your eyes, everyone, take a deep breath, let it out, try to clear your mind, and just listen. God, thank you for our children. We know they are a gift from you. You have placed greatness and special talents in each one of their precious souls. We need your strength and wisdom daily to train them in the way they should go. As parents, we know that we are our children's first and most influential teachers. Give us patience and a joyful heart. Let us be the positive examples and role models that our children need. Help us give our children the vision that will empower them to transform the world. And finally, parents, your greatest contribution to the universe is not something that you do, but rather someone that you raised. Thank you, God, and I affirm that these words will enter the hearts of the congregation and the listeners, and we pray that they come true, and so it is. Amen. Thank you.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding.